Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What's up, Jason?
What's going on, man?
How are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm excited because I love talking about UFOs.
We're just going to dive in, man. There's actually, for as stagnant as we are as human beings right now on lockdown and whatnot, there's been a lot of UFO news and activity lately. And I do want to start with the elephant in the room, the Department of Defense finally officially released the Navy UFO videos. Now, for a lot of us out there, it's about 2 years old, about 2 years too late. But yeah, I saw that you recently did an episode of the Unknown Podcast covering the Pentagon UFO videos and the new acknowledgement by the DOD. So what do you think, man? Has anything changed? What exactly is this announcement by the DOD and why should we pay attention to it?
Yeah, you're right. The only thing that's really changed is they decided to make a statement. And it's not the first time we've heard official statements from them. They've made official statements before, but, you know, this is like official direct press release essentially from them. And, you know, the motivation behind this, who knows? But they bothered to issue an official press release to acknowledge the videos, to acknowledge that videos are in fact legitimate videos from the Navy. They're saying that they are legitimate, real Navy videos showing, you know, something strange in these videos that they claim is unidentified. Unidentified to whom is another question, but that's what they're saying. They're sticking to their carefully phrased terminology. Mm-hmm. And the new thing here, besides they're saying, hey, these videos have been circulating publicly, but were never officially authorized to be released. They're given a nice stick there to the stars and anybody else who, you know, has released these videos in the past saying, hey, despite what people are saying, these videos were never authorized to be released. Now, again, we can play sides here and choose who we want to believe because we've heard conflicting stories all over the place. So that's a whole other, you know, ball of worms or can of worms. But then they decide to release the videos themselves to say, okay, look, now they've been officially been released. Here is our official release of these videos. So there you go. But the videos are identical to the ones that have already been circulating publicly for 2 years and then, well, older than that.
Oh, yeah.
So they gave us these copies of the videos that have been circulating, essentially. Sly sleuthy people figured out that these videos that were released by the DOD were in fact downloaded from YouTube at some point. So, you know, we can surmise all sorts of things from that, but one could guess that they didn't actually have possession of the original videos. They learned about it by finding them online and decided to download them themselves. So those are the official copies that they have, and there are no other videos. They state that the Navy still holds the original videos, but the original videos are the same quality and same length as the videos that were just released and as the ones that have been circulating. Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, it's very strange that these videos were downloaded from the internet at some point, and that's all they have. So, you know, the mystery, the plot thickens, it just goes round and round, and we'll continue having new headlines, new things to discuss with these videos. It's very fascinating, the videos themselves, but I find the response and the sort of tripping over feet and restating and carefully phrasing by the Department of Defense to be the most fascinating thing to watch with this whole saga.
Right. And I mean, honestly, man, I think they're kind of shooting themselves in the foot with this one, to be honest. I mean, it sounds like they're trying to take control of the situation. again, almost 2 years late and saying, hey, it's on record now. We officially release these. When in reality, like you said, not even dating back to 2017 when the New York Times posted these videos. But like you said, there are people who found some of these videos on forums back in like 2007 and even longer videos. We've heard some of the Navy people involved with these cases say they've seen 8 minutes of these videos. So, sure. I mean, we only have their word to take on that. But exactly. If that's the case, if these are the original videos from the Navy, they really didn't do a good job, if you ask me.
To your point of, you know, perhaps the motivation here is to, you know, take control of the situation, but does it really? I mean, let's look at how the government and the military has played the UFO game since the beginning. And is it really taking control of the narrative or taking control of the situation if they want to pretend that they're in control and they are the know-all people who, you know, have their hands, they have control over everything that's happening? By publicly stating, here are some UFO videos and we don't know what's in these videos. Mm-hmm. That's not really, you know, doing what they've done in the past. And that's by saying, hey, we know everything. This is a top secret project, or, hey, yeah, this is nothing. Move along. That would be the easy route to take. But by putting out a press release to get attention on videos that have already been out there, have already spawned countless headlines, just to create another wave of headlines by saying nothing new except, hey, here we're saying what the Navy already told you, because the Navy, once before this release, already did a release of their own to say, hey, here are our videos. Yes, there are videos. And yes, the objects are unidentified or unknowns. So the Navy had already publicly stated that. Now we have the DOD saying the same thing. Why? It's not news. We already got that confirmation. That confirmation comes from the DOD. So here they are doing it again in the form of a press release to generate publicity and to say, yeah, the objects are unknowns. What's the point and what's their game? You know, because everything they do in a release is carefully considered, carefully crafted, intentionally worded. So you do have to look at the wording and the phrasing that they use and really kind of scratch your head and try to wonder what is the motivation behind this.
Yeah, I think this definitely isn't going to be the last we hear from the DOD probably on this topic. They had their hand forced, and we do have To the Stars Academy and in part the New York Times article writers, Helene Cooper, Leslie Kane, Ralph Blumenthal, for bringing this to the public's attention. And I think
there are plenty of optimistic people who view this statement and the actions being taken here by the DOD and the Navy as, you know, some very positive, you know, good-hearted notion on their part to, you know, be open and, you know, start disclosure and start saying, hey, look, we're the good guys now in the UFO world. We want to help move this forward, and we're interested in being truthful with you and open and transparent. So here's what we know. There you go. That's what you wanted to hear. So we're good now. Yay.
Right. Put the public's trust back in government again during a global crisis, nonetheless. Mm-hmm. That's another thing. Why now? Why did they do this now? Was it to get buried in the rest of the news? I mean, every day we're bombarded with news about COVID-19 and, you know, politics and this and that and health and blah, blah, blah. And then, boom, let's put this right in the middle of a global crisis and maybe nobody will even pay attention to it. I don't know.
That's always possible. And I know a lot of people think that, but I don't think anybody there for a second thought that they would be able to slip this out and it wouldn't get noticed. They wouldn't go through the effort of putting together a press release and releasing these videos, you know, without expecting a splash to be made. They got exactly what they wanted.
That's true. And they probably, as they should learn by now, know that there are diligent researchers and archivists out there who will call them out on their BS when it comes down to it. I mean, we have people stating, I mean, we wouldn't have known that the DOD ripped videos from YouTube without the work of diligent researchers figuring that out. So kudos to all those who did that. It's a pretty interesting story. Luis Elizondo, the former director of programs, I believe, for the ATIP program, the secret Pentagon UFO program, he did weigh in on this and say, you know, we respect that the DOD did this. We do want to work with them on being, you know, bringing transparent UFO information to the public. So we thank them and we look forward to cooperating with them more. So again, To the Stars was 2 years ahead of them, but I find it, you know, I find it pretty classy that this was the response To the Stars took. And look, they're going to benefit from all this too. The more headlines out there about these videos, the more it's going to generate back into To the Stars Academy. So, Yeah, everyone wins, in my opinion, except the DOT, I guess. Well, moving to some other government news, Jason, we finally got the first recruitment video from Space Force.
Some people look to the stars and ask, what if? Our job is to have an answer. We have to imagine what will be imagined. Plan for what's possible, while it's still impossible. Maybe you weren't put here just to ask the questions. Maybe you were put here to be the answer. Maybe your purpose on this planet isn't on this planet.
Basically, they're saying, who says, you know, that in order to help your country, you got to be on the planet. And they even use the term To the Stars in their video. So I'm going to read the official you know, what Space Force is right here for a minute. Space Force organizes, trains, and equips space forces in order to protect U.S. and allied interests in space and to provide space capabilities to the joint force. $738 billion was spent on funding Space Force, Jason. So what do you make of this? Are you excited about it? And then I've got a little conspiracy question I want to ask you. But yeah, what do you make of Space Force?
All right. Well, I love the concept of Space Force. I love what the Space Force has always been, right? The Space Force isn't a new thing. The U.S. Air Force Space Command has been around for a long time. And essentially, to me, it's sad to see what Space Force is now, because it was just a waste of money to essentially do a rebranding, a very expensive rebranding. Because what they've now done is they've just transferred everything that Space Command was working on and put it under this new name of Space Force. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's just a gigantic waste of money, in my opinion, to go through that. But the work they do is awesome. And, you know, they're going to be doing a lot more things now that they're more visible, I guess. So in the recruitment video, you know, we see a lot of like future tech and things that aren't even real. But the one thing they highlight is the X-37B, which is very real, very cool, and very mysterious.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see the potential technologies and developments that come out of this. As for the, I guess, warfare aspect of it, I'm never for war or, you know, I'm pro-military to a point. I don't want to get political or anything on this show, but I think it's interesting. We'll see how recruitment numbers go with that. And one of the big things I wanted to ask your opinion on with this is when, and everything always circles back to the Stars Academy, when Tom DeLonge first approached people in the intelligence communities and the Air Force and the Army and said, look, I want to put the military in a good light again. I want to get people interested. I want to get people recruited. I want to help you guys. And in return, exchange information on what you might know about UFOs or, you know, these high tech things you guys are working on, exotic technologies. And here we have the first recruitment video for Space Force, a new branch of the military, and using the term To the Stars in their recruitment video. Is this it, man? Is this the cooperation between To the Stars and this new branch of the military coming together to be like, let's get people pumped for Space Force, and let's also talk about UFOs on the side?
Anything's possible, Ryan. Look, no, I think that's ridiculous. I mean, sure, it's possible, but I think if that were going to be the case with this particular recruitment initiative, they would have had an appearance from Tom DeLonge, right? I mean, they would have done something or used Angels and Airwaves music or things that To the Stars is very interested and receptive to doing things like that. But you don't see that here. I think we've seen, you know, collaborative efforts many times with the existence of To the Stars Academy. And that's, you know, already working with the cooperation you've seen between the military, the TV show that has cooperation from the military. I mean, you see things like that. That all works towards, you know, recruiting efforts in a way. We know that Hollywood does that all the time. The military uses Hollywood like that, creates, you know, shows like Top Gun, you know, movies like Top Gun and things that are essentially outright recruiting videos to make the military look cool and things like that. We know that's something that, that Tom is very passionate about, and the people he works with, you know, they're very pro-military and happy to support military efforts. And they've been very open about that. So yeah, it's not going to be a conspiracy or something surprising to see, you know, collaboration there and perhaps things that are essentially recruiting efforts to enhance the image the military has, especially with younger people.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I didn't even think about that. If you're going to try to get younger people interested, like have the face of To the Stars on there or whatnot. So yeah, pretty interesting.
And look, let's back up. And from a common sense perspective, you know, if you're somebody like Tom who has this vision in mind and you've got celebrity power behind you, you're certainly going to put that out and use that to your advantage, you know, and say, hey, look, I'll help you out here and throw my name toward this and try to make you guys look good and help you out with, you know, recruiting or whatever.
Right.
But I want some stuff. I want some info, you know. Yeah, absolutely. I can't fault him for that.
Yeah, that's totally right. Yeah, well, you know, it's only the beginning, so we'll see where Space Force ends up in all this. There's already a sitcom coming out starring Steve Carell called Space Force, so we'll see how that goes. Maybe this is another recruitment tool. Again, I'm just getting conspiratorial here, but
sadly, yeah. I'm more excited for that show than I am the real Space Force because. I think Space Command was probably going, you know, and making great progress and doing great things, and all that perhaps got slowed down and you know, messed up because of this whole rebranding that had to take place.
That's a good point. Yeah. And it's good to see Steve Carell working again, too. So I'm excited. I'm excited for sure.
What's up, guys? Ryan Sprague here, and I'm just dropping in to remind you about our Patreon campaign. Somewhere in the Skies is always free to consume, but it's not free to create. So if you want to help the show on a monthly basis, we have tons of rewards for you in return, including shoutouts on the show and website, bonus content and episodes, and free merch. Want to be my guest or pick a topic for the show? You can do that too. So if you'd like to learn more and to help support the show, visit patreon.com/summerskies. Thank you, and keep looking up.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story.
In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
All right. Here's the next thing I want to talk. I'm going to throw you a curveball here, Jason. All right. I've been having a one-sided battle with a certain scientist out there in the mainstream who's very vocal about many things, and that is Neil deGrasse Tyson. And he had a tweet recently. I'm going to throw it up here. Billions and billions of full-color, high-resolution images and videos are uploaded to the internet every day. If your best evidence for aliens visiting from another galaxy is monochromatic, low-resolution, fuzzy videos taken by the U.S. Navy, then there's more work to be done. Okay, so the reason I wanted to bring this up with you, Jason, is I found this tweet a little... not disconcerting, but inaccurate.
Completely in line with everything he does?
That's the thing. Now, this used to be a guy who I would retweet. I would post videos. I thought the world of him. I praise this man because of his grounded and objective approach to whenever the UFO topic would come up or anomalies in space and everything. But now we have him weighing in on the U.S. Navy story. One, probably just to get some buzz and some followers and to start engage people. But that's the problem. I don't think this is working in his favor. Now, the big problem I have with this tweet is, yes, there is a hell of a lot of work to be done when it comes to these videos and UFO videos in particular. But This tweet just really rubbed me the wrong way. When you look at the wording that he uses, belittling the U.S. Navy and saying all we can get are these grainy things. These people are using Raytheon highly classified, highly sophisticated cameras and technology. And they're capturing objects that are moving quadruple the time speed of our fighter jets. And to say this is all they got... we have a lot of work to do. And he uses the words aliens. And that really, really bugged me. We're in the year 2020. We have not even the U.S. Navy saying, it's not aliens. It's not this. But we have this guy saying, this is all we have to prove there's aliens. There's a lot of work to be done. What kind of scientist sticks with just aliens when it comes to UFOs? I mean, you and I preach this every day that we are UFO researchers. We're not alien researchers. I even made a tweet recently saying my belief in UFOs versus my belief in aliens visiting the planet. And I pissed a lot of people off. But at the same time, what do you make of this? What do you make of Neil deGrasse weighing in on all this stuff?
It's so frustrating when you get scientists who, have historically been good scientists, but they get to a point on a certain topic like UFOs and they turn the science off.
Yeah.
Right. And in this case, this isn't even turning the science off. This is just turning the lazy on, because I doubt he even, based on that tweet, doubt he even looked into it. Because clearly he's not understanding that this is a message from the Pentagon saying that these are UFO videos. They're not something that somebody took in their backyard, some random person. This is from Navy fighter jets, confirmed by the Department of Defense, saying these are videos showing, unidentified objects. So it shows that he did zero research. He just, based on his own established beliefs, decided to ridicule these things. Like you said, in a very condescending tone, saying that, these aren't anything worth getting excited over because he knows better than everybody else.
Right. And here's my other thing. He did respond to a few people who called him out on this. And he said, oh, funny, you don't even follow me, but you're commenting on my thing. So this dude is literally reading comments, going to see if these people are actually following him, and then commenting on it in his thing. So again, when it comes down to it, I think the dude is just desperate for attention right now. The world is passing him by. Nobody in the scientific community really takes him seriously. We've had astrophysicists and astrobiologists straight up say, we don't agree with Neil deGrasse Tyson on this. Don't let him be the face for all of us. I remember one astrophysicist saying, we're not in the business of debunking, which I think is a really good thing. And that's kind of what he's doing. He's like the modern day Philip Klass, where as Klass actually had you know, educated opinions and actually looked into UFO cases. And he was right a lot of the time. This really rubbed me the wrong way.
And yeah, I mean, it's bad for scientists. You know, Neil is this public figure, celebrity scientist. So he's what a lot of people think of when they think of scientists. And right. So when he's out there, you know, turning off the science and being very unscientific with the subject matter, it represents scientists in a very bad way. There are many, 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 many scientists who do take the subject of UFOs and extraterrestrial life extremely seriously. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they approach it with that scientific rigor. You can't have this established belief, plant your feet in the sand and say, I'm not deviating from that because science says this. That's not how science works. Science is about exploring all the possibilities and ruling things out one by one. You know, if he has his hypothesis that UFOs can't exist, they're all ridiculous because every photo is a grainy photo. Well, then he needs to do some science and back that up, but he can't. And if he would just look into the details of some of these cases before spouting off, he could use his scientific knowledge to maybe put forth something creative to help move things forward rather than just making the topic seem silly.
Yeah, exactly. Work with people on this. You know, if you want to be so vocal about it, why don't you reach out to Tom DeLonge? Even he commented to Neil deGrasse and he was like, hey man, did you interview the pilots? Did you talk to the ground crew? Do you even know about the witness testimony to this blurry photo that you're talking about or screen cap? And then he did the same thing with Bigfoot. Immediately after, he posted a blurry photo of Bigfoot and did the same thing. So honestly, man, I think he's just trying to piss off a lot of these communities.
He might be. I mean, I know he's got an ego, and that's a problem. You know, that interferes with objectivity always. But, you know, I would even have less of a problem if he would make it clear that he was just spouting an uninformed opinion. Right. To say, right. You know, I haven't looked into the details of this and I don't really care to because I think it's all ridiculous. That's just my opinion. That would be different than him coming across as this public figure, celebrity scientist saying this like it's some authoritative, definitive statement.
Yeah, it just doesn't work for me. I just had to get that off my chest. So thanks, man. Thank you for entertaining me on that one. All right, Jason. Now, this is the reason we are here tonight, to make an official announcement about an event that Rogue Planet has coming up, and that is the All the Strange Virtual Expo. So hit me with it, man. What is this? When is it? And what is it all about?
Well, it's interestingly about all the strange, you know, because that's what we like. So this is something that Rogue Planet's put together, and like Ryan said, it's a virtual expo, a virtual conference of sorts, where we're getting a handful, I guess a couple handfuls of awesome people together who are going to deliver presentations about UFOs, Bigfoot, ghosts, all sorts of strange topics. And this is going to be on May 30th, and it's completely free. It's a free event we put together. You know, right now, especially with all of the conferences being postponed or essentially canceled for the year, not happening till next year. I mean, we just heard that Roswell canceled. That's very wasn't too shocking, but it's still sad to hear. But you know, people aren't able to go to these in-person conferences, so you know, we decided to put together something virtual that you can attend from home, attend for free, and we're going to have a good time.
Yeah, man, I'm super excited. The word free being, I think, the key word here.
Free, I think, is awesome.
It's awesome. And, you know, you get what you pay for. But we promise it's going to be everything that you hope it will be and more. And look, like, this is just the beginning. We're getting more people involved. This might become a regular thing after we do this. But yeah, that's what we're about at Rogue Planet, I think. Just bringing the strange to people in a fun and fascinating way, making it very inclusive. And again, just providing some sort of education and entertainment for people out there, especially right now. And yeah, look, exactly. this isn't just for the people that are going to be attending virtually. It's for us too. Let's be completely honest.
Good point.
Yeah,
it's a really good point. Yeah, this is something that that we wanted to do, and you know, hopefully people will have fun and get a little something out of it too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, if you wouldn't mind maybe teasing a little of who we can expect. I did scroll through the guest list there, but anything really come to mind about what you're super excited about?
Oh, man, you know, I always love when our buddy Frank Kembler talks.
Yeah.
You know, it's fascinating to hear a geologist and professor talk about physical objects collected at the Roswell debris field, right? That's interesting. And scientific testing continuing to this day, new testing done all the time. And, you know, many of us have heard from Frank time and time again, but like I just said, new testing, new data to talk about, new things to talk about. And Frank's specifically going to be talking about his recent appearance on Ancient Aliens. And, you know, as with all TV shows, there are things that the TV show left out, things that they didn't have time to get to. And so he's got more science he wants to share based on that. So Frank is, you know, really exciting to talk with. Of course, we've got a lot of the guys from The Secret of Skinwalker Ranch. They're going to be doing a panel with us to talk a little more behind the scenes of the show. At Rogue Planet, we've been doing a weekly podcast, basically an after show, going over each episode of that TV show with people from the show, with one of the executive producers and some of the guys who are going to be on our panel. And for anybody who hasn't watched The Secret of Skinwalker Ranch, you know, I know there's been a lot of hesitation because it's a TV show, and we know that TV shows are TV shows. They're meant to be entertaining. They're meant to be dramatized to pull you in and make you want to tune in next week. That's what TV is. So there's a lot of that on this show. And the great thing about hearing this panel and also the podcast we do called The Skinwalker Debrief is you get to hear from these people actively involved in research on the ranch. You get to hear and ask questions to those people, why things happened the way they did on the show. Why didn't they do this additional testing? Are they going to do this next time? And they've been very candid, very forthcoming, and answering the questions they can ask. I mean, it's still an ongoing TV show, so they can't talk all the time, you know, reveal everything that they're building up to, but they're very open to talking about the actual science that's going on. And there are a lot of people who haven't bothered to watch the show or listen to these people, and they think that they're just, you know, TV people. This is all hokey. They chose the wrong people to do it. They don't care about the science, but there is actual science going on. And when you hear these people talk and hear about what they're doing and the experts they're bringing on to do the work that they themselves don't have the skill set to do, it's kind of exciting hearing that. Who knows what we'll discover from Skinwalker Ranch, but it's a really cool opportunity to get that insider's look to the people who are on the ground there doing the research at Skinwalker Ranch. So we'll get that with this panel too, and that'll be really cool.
Absolutely. And I think what we have to keep in mind, too, is with this television show, this is the transparency we've been waiting for when it comes to Skinwalker Ranch. We know that when Bob Bigelow owned the ranch, he had to answer to the government. He was being funded by the government through ATIP and a side funding program as well to investigate the ranch. So all the information he got was given right back to the government. So now that we have a new owner of the ranch, Brandon Fugel, he made it clear he wants nothing to do with the government when it comes to what he's doing there, what he's figuring out, and that the things that they find are for the public. So we're getting it through a television show. And while some people might think, oh, man, they could have done it in a better way, how do you get information out to the public better than on television? So,
yeah, and here's the thing. I mean, we will see more in the future, and certainly TV shows only run for so long. You know, it still hasn't been announced if a second season's coming. Right. But regardless of what happens with the TV show, they're still going to be doing research on the ranch, and that's the thing. There, you know, will most likely be other vehicles for getting information to the public. But that being said, just to your point, Ryan, how can you do it better than a TV show to reach that mass audience? You know, you're probably going to be stuck with, you know, just a website where you have to go and look at the information for yourself. And that's fine. I mean, people who are truly genuinely interested and passionate about that subject will do that. But when you're talking about the general public, putting it on a TV show where all people have to do is push a button and sit on their butts, you know, that's a nice, easy way to get some of the information out.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, as we see with most of these TV shows, the real plus is just public education, getting people familiar with the fact that there is something called Skinwalker Ranch and, you know, getting some of those details and hopefully encouraging people to go research for themselves.
Yeah. And I know, you know, the security on the ranch has been a little surprised with the amount of people coming out there now after seeing the show to try to
that's ridiculous.
See something. Yeah. But hey, that's when you know you've done your job and you've reached the public. So yeah. I'm excited to see what else they have coming out. I'm sure we'll get some revelations in the panel for the expo. What else? Anyone else you want to talk about?
Yeah. So something that, you know, might not be the most exciting to a lot of people. I think it's incredibly valuable and important for topics like this. But we have Aaron Sagers. Aaron Sagers is a TV host and pop culture expert, very big in the paranormal world. And I'm really, really happy with the talk that he decided to do. And his presentation is The Unexplained Interview, How to Approach Paranormal Claims as a Journalist and Conduct Interviews with Experiencers / Eyewitnesses While Maintaining Credibility and Empathy. That is hugely invaluable for anybody who's interested in researching and or investigating the world of the strange.
Right.
So, I mean, that's one example of a valuable, like, real life situation, you know, for anybody interested in getting into researching the paranormal. That is really valuable, as well as Shane Hurd's presentation. Shane Hurd is basically going to be talking about evidence-based UAP investigations, and that's coming from his perspective, his experience as a UFO field investigator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one looks super super cool. Again, Shane hasn't given many presentations, so this is going to be one of the first times that we actually get to see him do something like this. So I'm excited to see him stretch his investigator muscles.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, there's a few others. Forget that dude in the middle there, but Sapphire Sandalo. No. He's all about the aliens, I've heard. We've got Sapphire Sandalo, who's going to be talking about the spirit realm. You know, we talk UFOs all the time, but now we've got one of the paranormal experts. You've seen her on Paranormal Caught on Camera. She's got a really cool podcast where she talks all about folklore and the spirit realm and the paranormal and how all these things are probably connected, interconnected, whether it's ghosts, UFOs, cryptids, all that. So I'm super stoked about that one, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. We also, what else do we got? We've got, our buddy Micah Hanks is going to be talking about Bigfoot. Am I correct?
Bigfoot. Yes. Yeah. Yes. We had to get Bigfoot in there. You can't have an event called All the Strange without getting some Bigfoot in there.
Yes. Or else we wouldn't have them in the official logo.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm super stoked. He has done so much research. He's been investigating Bigfoot since he was like 10 years old. So whatever he's got, I'm sure it's going to be worth it.
And because you brought up Micah, I've got to give a shout out to his brother, Caleb Hanks. And of course, Caleb Hanks is part of the Rogue Planet family. And we have to give him credit for creating our awesome All the Strange logo, as well as our All the Strange theme music for this year. So
I'm super excited, man. Yeah, he does amazing work. If you can, check out the Clerk Chronicles. Go on Spotify. I listen to that every morning to get me pumped and ready.
Nice.
Ready for the day of sitting on my butt during lockdown. All right.
And if you're interested in just hearing, you know, more of Caleb's awesome music, I suggest, even if you don't care about Skinwalker Ranch, listen just to the intro of the Skinwalker Debrief. Because Caleb did the theme music for that too, and it is awesome.
It's so good. It reminds me so much of like that 80s, you know, Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Totally, man. Which is like Skinwalker Ranch in a nutshell. So
yep.
I can't wait, man. I'm so excited that we got to finally announce it. Knowing me, I always jump the gun and want to promote stuff, but I had to wait until you pulled the trigger. So I'm so happy that you came on to talk about it tonight. Talk some UFO news, Space Force, what have you, with me. But before we go, where can we find everything you're up to? Skinwalker Debrief. Yeah, give us all of that.
Yeah, all our good stuff is at rogueplanet.tv. That's where we post pretty much everything we do. Follow me on Twitter at Acentric, Acentric, because I am tweeting all day long, basically. And don't forget to go to allthestrange.com, read more about the event, and register. Remember, it's completely free.
Completely free, guys. Just go click register. It's that easy. You'll get a notification throughout the month of what more to expect. We'll have more news coming out on the website. Yeah, but other than that, guys, stay strange, keep looking up, and we'll see you on the other side.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.